So, good afternoon, everyone. To all those in Dhammaloka, thank you for being here. And to the people who have just joined the live streaming, and wherever you may be, so good morning, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leha Goh. I'm the Vice President of VSWA. And for today, we have Ajahn Brahm, who is the Abbot of Uddiyana Monastery. And we have Ajahn Brahmali, who is the acting spiritual director.
Hey.
So just in case you don't know, it actually means Ajahn Brahmali is now the boss.
Yes.
And what happened was that because Ajahn Brahm resigned as the spiritual director, so Venerable Hasapanya became the spiritual director. And because she's traveling, she delegated her role to Ajahn Brahmali, and so he's the boss right now. Okay, so thanks everyone for being here on a Saturday afternoon on short notice. We only sent out the announcement about this interview a couple of days ago. So I think it's good for us to get together, and since we've not seen or heard from Ajahn Brahm since the last AGM, I guess, in Dhammaloka, it'd be good to have this session so we can ask some questions and to get some answers. And more importantly, we want to make sure, because as all of you know, we'll be holding a special general meeting. So what we are trying to do is to provide more information to our members so that you can make a well-informed decision when you're casting your vote during the special general meeting. So with that, let me start. So I think how we'll go is that I would ask the questions and Ajahn Brahm can provide the answers, and then perhaps towards the end, I can leave some time for people to ask questions as well. We would also take three questions from those people on live streaming, and Ajahn can answer that too. So with that, let me just start with the first question that I received from someone from US. The name is Diana, and she's from Florida, USA. Let me just read out the question, and then I'll split up the question because it's quite a loaded question. Why is it that Ajahn Brahm's spiritual advice has to be approved by a committee or organized politics, constitution, etc.? I totally understand BSWA as a lay society does a lot to take care of the Sangha. Even then, why can't BSWA be all about Buddhist principles and listen to Ajahn Brahm, who is so wise, enlightened? And the reason for BSWA's success up until now, regardless of the constitution. So Ajahn, before you ask, you answer that question, I'd like to kind of like rewind the clock and have you to maybe just talk a little bit about what actually happened during the last AGM. And why you resigned at the end of the AGM.
Very good. To wind back that clock, ever since that last AGM, I started teaching a retreat over in Jhana Grove for the last 9 days. I haven't had any rest for the last 9 days. I've been teaching. Not only teaching, but looking after some of the things happening in the monks' monastery, and also taking emails from people who want chanting because they're dying, people who are really sick, people who need some spiritual support. And it's not just the fact that a Buddhist spiritual leader just sits down and is free at any time of the day and night. The workload is extreme. And I was mentioning that there is a gentleman who used to be one of our committee members, a guy called Ron Mutton, and he used to be a Uniting Church minister. And he used to run retreats, and he said the minimum was 3 ministers sharing the duties of teaching, of taking interviews, of leading others in any problems which they used to have. And he was quite surprised just how in our tradition, one monk just does everything, just at a retreat. It is a very heavy workload. And I don't mind doing that because I run on inspiration. I have, you know, lots of energy. My meditation is still very good. But even that, sometimes you wear out. And I'm very, very aware of what happened to Ajahn Chah. I forget exactly the age when he had a stroke, but it was a stroke, and he could not speak or teach for about 9 years before he finally passed away. And I'm sure that you've seen photographs of him in that situation. Sometimes the compassion to serve sometimes is not able to be supported even by the deepest of meditations. You get worn out. And I started feeling the fact of being worn out by all the things which you had to do. And one of those things which I thought could alleviate the burden was to have more help for our committee and the people who serve you. Many of you have never been on those committees. There's many people I see here, like Dr. Bin Anson at the back over here, there. And you asked him, would you like to say, no way, serve on the committee? Why? Because it's such hard work, which is just unrecognized and always asking for more, more, more. In the meantime, ever since you were on the committee, Bin, we haven't had less work, but more burdens, more compliance issues, more difficulties. And because of that, we do need to sort of upgrade our ability to seek volunteers and also to put them, on a subcommittee where they can be controlled by the main committee instead of just having this ad hoc, you look after this place, without formally putting guidelines, what they can do and what they can't do, even paid volunteers if it's really necessary, but certainly not, please, this thing drives me crazy, there will not be a $70,000 per year a general manager who's going to work 3 days a week. That is not going to happen. That was last year. And that's sometimes strange, I have to say this, but sometimes fear is what makes people do amazing, stupid things. Fear, just like, when we had the debate about gay marriage, many people, and apparently they were still saying this, will think, oh, if you allow gay marriage, then soon you'll be allowed to have sex with animals. And that sort of stuff. And that was actually said by religious leaders at a recent conference which one of our members attended. The fact $70,000 a year general manager, that's it's the same league. It's not going to happen. So that sometimes sort of frustrated me. The message was not being heard. Now, the one thing that I have been, not just on this committee, but many committees, trustee of the Anacampa Bhikkhuni Foundation, that's in UK, that has very, very strict laws. Then spiritual director of Santee Monastery, been to many committee meetings there. The BSV in Melbourne, many committee meetings there. In the, the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore, many committee meetings there. And you see the same sort of thing happen all the time. That sometimes, that with good meaning, you see no possible problems. But what people don't see is that there's many people who are just giving too much, giving their all. And instead of please looking about fear and even money, please look at the people. This is a people issue. People are more important than things. And so look at all the people who work very hard trying to get a monastery together. I was just saying, Ajahn Bhumali, that being spiritual director, for a couple of weeks, he's realizing just how much work it is. It's huge. Just on that. Being secretaries, assistant secretaries, looking after the work for the membership, always people asking, looking after Jhana Grove, just looking after the finances. This is all work which volunteers do for nothing. And they need support. They have families. I have a monastery. I have my body. I have to look after it. You can't carry on like that. So when I saw in the last committee, the last AGM, a simple solution, which was agreed to by our committee, that it was not back at the AGM. For what reason? And I could see no rational, logical reason for that. Compliance is mandatory. We have to have two signatories on every transaction. Those are committee members. There is checks and balances there. That subcommittee, just like in every other subcommittee, we give them, the committee tells them what they can do, what they can't do. Simple things that they should not be allowed, permitted to sign contracts. You know, even contracts which are sometimes signed in Bodhinyana Monastery. They ask, are you able to sign that contract? Show us in your constitution that your validity. Because otherwise, anyone could sign a contract. Frank, you could sign a contract for the Buddhist Society of West Australia, but it wouldn't be valid. You know, you're a member, full member, trusted, but you have no authority to do that. So this is actually where those checks and balances are in place. And when we try and argue, should they be in place, should they not be in place, they are in place. And when we're busy arguing like that, many people are getting burnt out, including myself, Ajahn Bhumali. And so it is my responsibility, my duty of care to my own body, to my Sangha, to Ayahasapanya, and to those people who put their hand up to volunteer, that it cannot go on. And the only way I could make that very clear is actually to resign as spiritual director, because I cannot feel responsible, when you are the director, when people are being abused physically by working too hard. It's not right. And it's not right to abuse your monks either, and your nuns. We work really hard. And even sometimes you come along and say, can I speak to you, Ajahn Brahm? And sometimes out of compassion rather than wisdom, I say, yes, what is it? When you're really, really tired and there's many other things you have to do. Even just coming in here, just at 4 o'clock, many people, can I say a few things? Can I ask you this? Can I ask you that? Look, it's taking up a huge amount of energy, which you don't have. And at the same time, just sort of things which are happening. This is just an example, one of many, that the ABC News has contacted the Buddhist Society of West Australia, the Australia Sangha Association, the Federation of Australian Buddhist Councils, because you may know that in the news there's been many reports of sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, domestic violence, and the ABC has been going through the main religions one by one. The Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Salvation Army, the Hindu community, the Sikh community, the Muslim community, and guess who's next? The Buddhists. So they sent an email, can you please have arrange an interview with this ABC reporter about what is the Buddhist community doing about this? And that would be really my job. But I said, I can't even think about that for the next couple of weeks. Because you have to be arguing on, can we please change the constitution to allow a committee, which is every other organization does. So I think that's really intolerable. Where we should be looking at bigger issues, real issues which affect our communities, then we're tied down having these little meetings about small things. That is the reason why I needed to resign, to bring it to people's attention, to how our Buddhist society is being run. Doesn't need to be that way. So that's why I ask for your support, to actually to change, approve this change on the SGM, simple change. It's part of the what the Associations Act want for the future, for all associations in Western Australia, so that we can run ourselves more efficiently without burnout. So anyway, that's what happened since the last AGM.
Thanks, Ajahn. So can I just echo what you've just said? So you did mention that even though there will be subcommittees being formed, but there will be a governance put in place to manage the subcommittees, so they are not given a free hand to spend whatever they want?
Of course there are. That is standard practice. That is why those rules are in the Associations Act. Subcommittees, to help the committee in the conduct of the association's business, the committee may in writing do either or both of the following: appoint one or more subcommittees, the other one is creating subsidiary offices. We're not going to go there. The subcommittee may consist of a number of people, whether or not members. This is what the West Australian Association Act. We can have anybody according to their act, but it has to be in our constitution. Subject to any directions given by the committee, a subcommittee may meet and conduct business as it considers appropriate. And the committee delegate to a subcommittee or the holder of a subsidiary office the exercise of any power, but not a non-delegable duty, which is imposed by the committee or by the Act. So the subcommittee has to follow the regulations. And the subcommittee can be dismissed by the main committee at any time if the subcommittee is acting, if it is not following the guidance and the rules laid down by the main committee. You don't need to do very much. A quick subcommittee meeting and the subcommittee is sacked. So we have those governance, we have control over that subcommittee. The alternative is that people burn out, we don't have any control at all. We haven't got time, burnt out, to let these things just pass us by without seeing what's really happening. That's what's happening at the moment. It was apparently with problems about invoices from, was it
Starfish and Spartan.
Spartan. That was not subcommittees, that's committees. Too busy to actually really know what's really going on. So those are the things which happened last year, which, causes the problems. And it's because the main people doing the work just were too busy, didn't know what was going on.
And I guess not just the invoices, but I think there was a question as well saying that subcommittees might be able to sign long, like contracts that will tie us for a longer term?
No, that is number one. To sign any contract, you just have to be somebody who has authority to sign contracts. And the authority is not in any sort of well-meaning person who works for this Buddhist society. It has to be from the committee. And if that is not clear, that can be in the terms of reference to any subcommittee.
So then does it look like subcommittees would just be tasked to get the work done, to provide proposals, and it come back to the committee, and
yes,
that's when decisions
exactly
get made?
To get the quotes, to investigate what needs to be done, because sometimes on the committee we don't know what needs to be done. When it comes to IT, I haven't got a clue what needs to be done. So you have a subcommittee, they suggest the quotes, and the committee looks at those quotes and approves them or not, as the case may be.
So Ajahn, at the end of the last AGM, that's when you sent a shock to the world saying that you resigned as the spiritual director.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some words going around saying that that's just a stunt.
It's not a stunt, this is not peeved, I don't get my own way, so that I'm going to resign unless I get my own way. I think you all know that my own way would be just to resign forever. That's what I'd love to do, just to go off into a cave, relax, and just let the Buddhist Society of Western Australia just whatever it does. There's plenty of offers, I've been telling people, now I'm a free agent, out of contract, I'm open for offers. But that is, I have a great sense of duty and responsibility. I do this not for myself. This is not self-centered, egocentric, getting my own way. This is actually to continue to serve, and just my commitment to look after my friends, people who have served. And many of you here have served very well. And you know that you may have a difference of opinion, but you know how hard it is. And to actually to get people to be on a committee. Even this year, I just had to twist a few hands. You know, I did have to ask Dennis. You know, he's a president. Apparently that his wife, Heidi, advised him not to. And I said, no, come on, Dennis, we need you. You know, even Leha, you know, to try and talk her into coming here. I don't know why I have to do this every year. It's not as if people just volunteer and just, yes, I want to be on a committee. When was the last time we had a vote? People are actually standing against one another wanting to join our committee. Because the point is that people on our committee sacrifice a huge amount. And if we carry on like this, the idea of standing on a committee next year, which is no one will want to stand at all. So, you know, we need help, we need support to actually for people to be able to be on that committee.
So, Ajahn, now that we will be holding the special general meeting to re-vote on that change in constitution, and with you having resigned as a spiritual director, and if the motion does not get supported and that's being opposed by the majority, so that didn't go through, can you just kind of like explain what will happen?
Well, the thing is that I am an ethical monk. You don't make threats. But consequences will happen. I have a high standard of ethics. And if sort of we don't get help, you know, for our committee and for volunteers and for our sanghas, if there's no way forward and we just go back to no subcommittee can be made except from existing committee members, how on earth can that sort of spread the load? You have 10 committee members plus, you know, the spiritual director, assistant spiritual director. And out of those 12, we have other subcommittees and other subcommittees. And that's all we can do at the moment. It's a crazy idea. It's not sharing the load at all. It's just keeping it the same group, having to do different types of work. So basically that the workload on myself will be too great. And I ethically will not be able to... I'd apologize to all those people I asked to join the committee this year. And I'd just keep on resigning. Be the abbot, but not attend any committee meetings. Because that would be my role.
And Ajahn, when that happens, it actually means that Venerable Hasapaniya will be the spiritual director.
Yeah.
And then she might decide not to be the spiritual director.
Exactly. I
mean, and we would not have a spiritual director, which means, according to the constitution, the Buddhist society has to be run by a spiritual director. And when that happens, it actually means we have a constitutional crisis.
We can't do anything. And I hope that never happens, because Aya Hasapanya, she's, you know, how long has she been a nun? She's just getting used to running Dhammasara Monastery, which is wonderful. It's a great monastery to go to, but to give her all this other stuff to look after, it'll be far too much for her. And no, she's the sort of person, she'd probably say, okay, I'll give it a try. But I would feel very bad to put her in that situation. For something which is just so simple, just, for goodness sake, just pass this amendment to the Constitution. Give it a try for 1 year. You can always look at it the year afterwards, and if, you know, things go really wrong. But, you know, at least for 1 year, just, you know, pass this thing. And it means that then we will have subcommittees. And the subcommittees we need, I'll just give you a rundown of them. Just, you know, the sort of things which we would require. You know, we would require, you know, to have a subcommittee which looks after the audiovisual, so that these talks can be streamed, you know, over the world, so that when it comes to the WAYSAC, people can take the five precepts here and see it, and it works. Over in Jhana Grove, you can get the talks there, you know, which, again, Venerable Nito has been working the last 9 days, making sure that we got a new camera over there. These monks, they're wonderful, but I feel guilty. They should be in their hut meditating, not getting the audio-visual for you to see those retreats and get good sound, and ask good audio so people with hearing disabilities, now they can actually hear the talks. And sadhu, sadhu, sadhu to Venerable Nito. His sacrifice was huge getting all that done. And now just we have to have a IT. You know, we're thinking of getting donations, you know, through Patreon or even through advertisements. I mean, that's a huge thing. And it needs to be looked at. Is it the appropriate thing, the wrong thing to do? But you can't keep being an up on committee level. You know, just get the IT subcommittee to be able to do that. You know, and other payments which people make. We are being investigated by the ATO because that they, you know, religions are now, not sort of, not out of there. Before they would never touch a religion because political things, but now all religions are looking at how we spend our money, donations coming in, are they used for the appropriate purposes. You know, we're pretty good on that, I think, but still, it can be a huge burden on the treasury the next year, especially if the ATO says business as usual, no, your tax deductible gifts are no longer tax deductible. So you can give a donation, but no tax relief at all for that. And that will take our taxable income away. We also have to look at, you know, just the running of this, the physical maintenance of this place here, you know, Dhamma Loka Center. Already again last year there were complaints, a letter sent out to the committee about the toilets not being clean. Should we have sort of a general maintenance being looked after about the toilets and the cleanliness, about, you know, other things which are happening here? A tile might lift up at the back, you know, and someone trips on that. And reliable, duty of care. There are so many things. Occupational health and safety, we've got away with that for many years, but compliance issues are really coming up. We need a legal committee to see what our obligations are, what they're not, a subcommittee. And of course, our constitution, you know, is really past its use by date. Legally, we have to change it by 2019. And that's next year, by the way. And we need people who know much more about these things than I do. What we can change, what we can't change, how to keep the required changes in line with our ethos. And a simple thing, Jhana Grove. It was not quite sure why Serpentine Jaradel Council got into this, but they said that Jhana Grove, with its 60 rooms, is a lodging house. Therefore, it comes under their legislation, and they've got a right to come and check on this and check on that. And of course, you know, another thing which I was doing last week, or during the retreat, this was emailing sort of the local shire of Serpentine Jaradel Council. This does not, comply as a lodging house. A lodging house, you have to have those rooms, temporary occupation, for rent or reward. And there's no rent or reward there. As you all know, when you go to Jhana Grove, it's by donation only, strictly by donation. If a person just decides they don't want to pay anything, they get their booking bond returned. So, you know, these are things which, you know, I have to do at the moment because I know the background to it, but I shouldn't really be doing that. That's why I need a legal subcommittee, compliance subcommittee. There's so much stuff which we need to do, which a few people are doing, getting burnt out, and other people are not doing at all. And it's, you know, it's really concerning me about the viability of this place. And again, just asking a few people to do that, again, they can't handle it. And I say that I can't handle it physically. So that's one of the reasons why sort of I resigned. And you know, you say, well, okay, it doesn't go through, come back again and kill myself. And just that's a bad example for other people. And I'd probably encourage other people on the committee. What are you doing this for? Getting nowhere, no light at the end of the tunnel, and burnout. What type of Buddhist society are we? Are we caring about money or caring about people? Caring about your Sangha? You know how much your Sangha works for you, and they're so willing to work even more. They blooming well build Jhana Grove. You see them even recently, you know, the water ran out of there. So Mudito was up there trying to find out where the water was going to. And we are your janitors. You know, we look after you. So please look after us.
John, some members have actually suggested that perhaps we can have a committee member sitting in a subcommittee.
That would be wonderful if there were enough committee members. We only have 10. You can co-opt another 4, but how many subcommittees do you have? And these have to be people who actually go onto that committee and are there. Anyone who's been on a committee knows that that is a huge burden. And so to go on a subcommittee, it's another burden. So, you know, I can't really see the purpose of that. Compliance, having a voice. When every subcommittee, you know, will have to, you know, get like the Armadale group, which is effectively a subcommittee. You know, you're going to ask one of those to actually to come on, a committee member, to actually go down to Armadale every week. They would love that. They keep complaining. No committee members go down there. So, you know, it sounds good, but actually just, you know, it doesn't work. I got a lot, no, I like jokes. One of the jokes is a book about committees. And one of those jokes is, all these things seem possible for those who never have to do it themselves. And that's so true. You know, even just at our committee meeting to actually to get an SGM together, we had to have a committee to approve an SGM. And even that, you know, one of the committee members was asked, well, will you join that subcommittee? No, it's too busy. So, you know, it sounds good, but people don't volunteer. There are already enough just working on a committee. And it's not necessary, it's not required. Compliance is already there.
So, Ajahn, I think just now you talked about your ideas about a few subcommittees that could be put in place once we've gone through the special general meeting and assuming that people vote for it. So if we have those subcommittees running and everything is running smoothly, what is your vision actually for Buddhist society? Like when you look at, even though we should be focused on the present moment, but if you kind of like look at Buddhist society in 5 years' time, how do you think we should look like?
A community which looks after one another, which actually practices compassion and sensitivity, and which, you know, looks after its sangha, its traditional leaders. And there's so many things which your sangha can do in this world. And if ever you go overseas, you know, you just see how incredibly popular we are. How we, you know, it's examples to others. Even just I saw an email saying, Ajahn Bhumali, you finally arrived. You've got your own Facebook fan page now. Congratulations, Ajahn Bhumali. Just a simple example. Just a couple of days ago, I had my lunch at Bodhinyana and trying to get back to Jhana Grove to have a rest after lunch. And a Sri Lankan girl came up from Sydney said, look, I know you're busy, I have to come and see you. Came all the way from Sydney just to see me and flew back again because she was crying. She said, I was having such a hard life, you know, anxiety and difficulty, lack of self-confidence when I was doing my year 12s. He said, because of you listening to your talks, I passed. I'm in university, I'm doing well now. Thank you so much, Ajahn Brahm, for doing that. And just, you know, just wanted to see me and say thank you, crying. That's what I should be doing. Not having to, you know, use, you know, just my respect worldwide and use my authority as someone who's really served this Buddhist society probably more than anybody else. To use that, I shouldn't be having to use that to sort of ask for a new special general meeting to revisit something which was causing us, you know, problems and causing me problems. That's how I see our Buddhist society in the future. Efficient. I was going to say lean and mean, but that doesn't really fit with me. Not lean, it's certainly not mean. But where we can actually go forward and where everybody is welcome. And I just will not tolerate sort of people just saying, oh, it's the Thai community or the Sri Lankan community or the Chinese community or the Australian Buddhism. This is not working for Australian Buddhism. This is Buddhism. Buddhism has no boundaries. We don't see race or religion, race or ethnicity or sexual orientation, for goodness sake. May all beings be happy and well. It's supposed to be inclusive, where people of all sort of races feel welcome here, feel respected and included. And I think that's the Buddhism which I want to see in the future.
Thanks, Ajahn. And in your first letter that you sent out to the members immediately after you resigned, you mentioned about Buddha kind of like walked away from where there was trouble and he went into hiding or something. So can you clarify a little bit about that and whether you're going to be disappearing for the next 3 months?
Yeah. This was something I quoted. So, you know, sometimes, you know, should a monk, senior monk, just be involved in all of this? Or should they just, you know, just be aloof in the forest and doing nothing? And obviously, just taking my lead from Ajahn Chah, he was very, very involved, you know, with making sure the Buddhist monasteries, you know, which he looked after, were well looked after, were done appropriately. You know, in those days, you don't have the Buddhist society of Wat Pa Phong. It was monks. And the leadership there was, you know, in my opinion, far too strong, far too autocratic. Whatever the head monk said went, and that was it. It was enshrined in law that if I had an argument with Ajahn Pamali and I said, you have to leave, there was no recourse. He would have to leave, and if he didn't leave, I could call the police in, and as the abbot, I could eject you. Right now. Not that I'd do that. And that was actually the power which the senior monk had. But now that's way too far. So, you know, we try and make it just responsive to our membership here. But sometimes our membership don't know what it's like to be a Sangha member and actually to do all this hard work and the responsibility we have. Even whatever you do and decide, you know, that people will still come and email me and say, what's going on, Ajahn Brahm? I joined the Buddhist Society because I had faith, you know, in your teachings or in Ajahn Pamali's teachings or seeing a nun's monastery develop. That's so pleasing. At last, you know, we're doing this for the female Buddhists in our world. We want this to continue. And so, even if I did leave, I still get a lot of people just coming and just begging me and just, you know, this is what I expect anyway. So please, 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 please. But what the Buddha did, this is a Buddha, you know, far more respect than Ajahn Brahm and Ajahn Chah would ever have. The monks were arguing about, and again, a stupid thing, a silly thing. It was a point of Vinaya whether when you went to the toilet you should leave the water jar empty or full or something like that. And they had a big argument about this, and they took sides. One monk's this side, and another huge number of monks the other side. And the Buddha came along and said, you know, look, we can settle this. I can settle this for you. But they said to the Lord Buddha, no, you don't need to get worried about this. We'll sort it out. And they were so disrespectful to their teacher. They wouldn't even listen to him. So, you know, you go off to your monastery. Go away. We'll sort this out. And so what happened is the Buddha did leave. He went over to the Paralaika forest for 3 months, where he was looked after by the elephant and the monkey. Very beautiful story. And he left him there because he said people wouldn't respect him. They would bow to him. They would say, Buddhang Savanang Gacchami. They would offer food, but they wouldn't take advice. So, you know, that was disrespectful. So when I mentioned the 3 months, that's what I was alluding to. No, it could be less. I said, I hope it won't be that long. I know, it could be longer. I don't know, it's up to you. It's cause and effect, consequences. It's not really my choice.
Ajahn, we are quite respectful. We ask that you take a break and we'll sort it out.
Okay, bye-bye.
No, because we have Ajahn Brahmali, so that's okay.
Okay. He'll be following me. Once
no, it's
no,
not.
That was a joke. joke. So that was
it. Okay, so enough of questions from me. I'd like to open the questions to the floor as well as Amanda can send me the questions.
And Don is
Don, Amanda's going to pass you the mic.
Yeah, he's a really good friend. He served a lot. We argue a lot. And so you know what's going to happen. Very good.
Thank you, Ajahn. We have spoken a lot about the subcommittee.
Yeah.
The idea of the subcommittee was never opposed by anyone, as you remember. And Leha can check up. I actually seconded the motion.
Oh, just your mic.
Sorry, can you hear now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start again. Since I was intimately involved in this issue, so I thought I can get a chance to speak first. The whole issue of the subcommittee was never debated or disagreed in the committee. The committee agreed to the subcommittee, and Leha can check up. I actually seconded the proposal to create these subcommittees. And my only suggestion was that we actually have one member of the committee in the subcommittee. Now, Ajahn has agreed it's a good idea, but it's difficult practically. I agree to that. But as I pointed to Ajahn in one of the emails, incidentally, I have served the society for many years. I've held nearly every position in the executive and also been a committee member. Compared to the work done by the members of the executive, that is the president, secretary, treasurer, and vice president, the work handled by a committee member is much less. So that was why I brought this suggestion that we should at least be able to find one committee member who is prepared to serve. And on the Dhammaloka subcommittee, which was only one talked about, that we could have one committee member. And on the Friday before the AGM, I think when I was talking to you, Ajahn, I mentioned to you that I do not agree with the idea of removing that clause completely. I did. And you said, no, don't worry, the subcommittee will be all trusted people. And in that conversation, I never got the impression that this getting this proposal through was such an important matter to you. Mm. Had I known that it was so important to you at that time, we would not have pursued the course of action we took, because I had the impression, I didn't see it as a major issue, and I thought you didn't also see it as a major issue. And even at the AGM, I tried to bring up this proposal that let's have at least one committee member in the subcommittee, but unfortunately I was, I must say, illegally overruled by the chairman when it is according to the constitution, we can all bring amendments to a proposal. He overruled it and said it's either completely no committee member or vote for it or against it. So that's what led to this voting thing. And coming on to the voting, Ajahn, when we analyzed the vote afterwards, we found that actually we had 47 people voting for it and 18 people, or 19, there was a doubt on that, voting against. And if that was worked out, actually the motion was lost on the floor itself.
Exactly.
Yes. So in your some of your postings, you have said one of the reasons you gave up the job was because of these proxy votes that were brought in and caused the motion to be lost.
But can I respond?
Yes.
Again, if those proxy votes had been for rather than against, then the motion would have been won. So there's a technicality there. But, you know, the proxies were huge. And where it's unethical is because a lot of people were really confused about what they were voting for. And because of that, beforehand, I thought because you had voted for that proposal at the committee meeting where we put this one forward, that I thought that it was just going to be a shoo-in, because I was actually quite surprised it was controversial at all, that there was such an, even at that committee, at that ADM, I did make it quite clear just how important that was. And sometimes the loudest voice is the one which is heard. And sometimes being a monk, I can't shout. So it is important. And it is wonderful if we can have a committee member on the Dhammaloka sort of subcommittee. But, you know, if no committee member puts their hands up, you know, when we actually, then we can't have a subcommittee. So I want the committee to have the opportunity, you know, not have their hands tied. So if no one puts their hand up to join a committee member to join a subcommittee, at least we're going to have a subcommittee. And you can be on it. I trust you on the Dhammaloka subcommittee. You're not a committee member anymore, but, you know, you're sort of a person I trust. You know what goes on here. So you can make sure, and you can report directly to Ajahn Bhumali if he's a spiritual director, or me if I come back again. And that way that, you know, that your concerns should be allayed.
Thank you, Ajahn. Just a quick one. So, to me, it appears that the main reason for your giving up this spiritual director's job was more a misunderstanding than an actual thing that happened. So on that basis, can I make an appeal to you to have a holiday and then come back as soon as possible, because the basis of what happened really doesn't exist.
Excellent. I will have a holiday, I don't know for how long, because I'm expected back. You may know that some of our responsibilities are the New Year celebrations, which are happening now. And as many people here said, when am I going to lead a meditation and Dharma session again? What I would really like the holiday from is from conflicts in the Buddhist Society of West Australia, committee and membership. That's a holiday I want. So I ask you, Don, would you volunteer to be on the Dhammaloka subcommittee? Yeah, you get things.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why such a simple situation cannot be resolved by being a little bit more wiser. We are Buddhists.
Yeah.
We are wholesome Buddhists, people who practice Buddhism in the highest level. We cannot be silly little kids trying to suck on little lollipops, believing that things is going to happen and nobody knows about it. This is a huge concern. We have to exercise what we preach is what we need to continue to radiate out into the open. I'm not a committee member. I'm a person from the outside looking in at what is happening inside. But what I see is there's a lot of foreignness and stupidity.
Okay.
That has occurred. That has created a massive amount of problem as a consequence of people not being skillful and wise in their practice.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't agree that it was stupidity. I think everyone involved did what they think was the best for the society. Yeah. So I don't know whether that can be classed as stupidity.
Okay,
but anyway,
well, as far as I'm concerned,
story short, I can tell you I'm already continuing to look after the building of that new patio at the community center. So I will.
Yeah.
So I will accept Ajahn's request.
Ah, good.
Thank you, John.
He's the best man to do the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
And for. Thank you. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, Don. I've known him for such a long time.
And for those of you who don't know Don, I have a lot of respect for Don because he's been one of the committee members, executive committee, in and out, and serving for a long time. So, yeah, I have a lot of respect for Don, and I'm quite happy that we've come to an agreement, a better understanding on what went on. And just to further clarify, as far as the Constitution is concerned, as soon as we word in that there needs to be a committee member who sits on a subcommittee, it actually means that we cannot have any subcommittees if there is no committee members. Whereas, if it's the other way around, where we now say that we're going to have subcommittees comprising of BSWA members, and as and when, for example, the Dhammaloka subcommittee is really important to us, we will, as a committee, ensure that one of us would be sitting in that committee. So I think that's the whole reason why we try not to kind of like word it that restricts us from forming subcommittees. And we've got a lot of talents within BSWA that we have not kind of like used over the years, and that's what we are trying to change. Additionally, what I'd like to point out, which Ajahn Brahm has pointed out in his letter as well, that in the Corporations Act and the change in constitution that we are supposed to comply by, I think, 2019, it actually says that subcommittees can be formed by either members or even non-members. So we are, as a society, tighter than what the recommendation is. So I think we should be fine. And I guess all of us have heard from Ajahn Brahm explaining that we are not just giving a free rein to subcommittees, and there will be like governance that's being put in place. So we should all have a level of comfort that, yep, you know, things will be under control.
I just wanted to reaffirm everything that I think I have understood, so forgive me for my ignorance. What you're now saying is that have the subcommittee and maybe not have a committee member part of the subcommittee, but the subcommittee must report before they do anything back to the committee.
Pretty much. That's pretty much the case.
Yeah, so then...
No report whether they're going to go to the toilet, but just no important matters.
So then what happens is that there can't be too much mischievousness or anything, because the subcommittee, before they can do anything, must report back to the committee.
Yeah. So, for example, last year, I was part of the subcommittee that looks into the resources within BSWA, and then I came out with a report. But before I published the report and before I sent out a survey, I actually brought it back to the committee and said, okay, are you happy with that? So that's how subcommittees are run, and we don't plan to change that. And we are not kind of like saying, hey, that's the subcommittee that we are forming for Dhammaloka, go do whatever you want. That's not the case.
And that covers financial, it just covers absolutely everything. So
Is
there a problem?
Yeah. And the main reason why we want to do that, even though I wasn't in a previous committee, but the main reason why we want to do that is because we are so limited in our resources, because even looking at the committee members and the executive committee members, for example, we are like, we joke among ourselves, we are like being recycled, and it's true. 2 years ago, I was a secretary. I took a break because it was getting so hard for me because I had a full-time job. I was raising my family, and I was doing so much, and I had symptoms of stroke. And that's when, and I'm a cancer survivor as well. So that's when I went to Ajahn Brahman and said, no, I can't do this anymore. And so that's when they started to realize how bad things are. And I guess that's when we realized that even when I was doing the survey, there are a lot of members who actually indicated that they are more willing to help. But unless we make the change, we can't actually, you know, put them on the subcommittees. And I think that's the change that we're trying to make, which is positive for the society as a whole.
Hi, everyone. Stephen, I'm an Anagarika Bodhinyana. I would like to reassure people that things are okay in a financial and a legal sense. So when this tax review happened in November, I trawled backwards and forwards across the financials for the best part of 2 months. And financially, you're very sound. We made a mistake between two accounts, and we put that right. We closed one account down when perhaps we shouldn't have done that. And what you also need to know is the level of expenditure that somebody can sign off is very, very low in Australia. So the highest level of expenditure that somebody can sign off is $5,000, which has to be somebody like Ajahn Brahm. Most people only have a sign-off authority of $1,000, and that would have to be somebody on the committee. Technically, in a governance sense, the committee remains responsible for the behavior of the subcommittee. So you best be wise in terms of who you ask to do that. And the financial strictures have been there in place, so I think Ajahn Brahm has been a committee member for 33 years plus. And there is no evidence of anything that would look fraudulent, anything of that nature in the history of BSWA. If you become aware of something and you have evidence, then you should bring it forward. And the committee would look at it straight away and say, is there some proof in this? Has somebody just made a mistake? Is it deliberate? But the concerns that people have, saying, you know, we must have these financial structures in place and the governance, both sides want the same thing. And you have that already, and Ajahn Brahm and others are saying that will continue. If a monk happens to steal something to a value of $1,000 or less, and I know that changes, Ajahn, based on how you would read the Vinaya, but if you steal $1,000 of anything, requisites and the like, at the monastery, you must disrobe immediately. You must disrobe immediately. We would hold the same ethical standards to somebody on the committee. And the distrust has come a little bit in recent times, and that's a real shame, because I want to see healing, and I want to see kindness, and I want to say we can all trust each other. That's what this is all about. And yes, people were well-meaning in terms of going against, but ironically, everybody wants the same thing. And now's the time when you can do that, if you want to. Ajahn is overworked. Ajahn Brahmali is overworked. Many of the monks are. The Anagarikas are from time to time, but that's a plea from me. but a lot of the lay people, the people that come, a lot of the similar names are on the committee year after year, and they do need help. And we have such a beautiful future. I left Sydney and became homeless because I thought this is a beautiful organization doing great things in the world. It could do a lot more. So please, let's move to positivism. Let's give the support that's needed. And people like me who wouldn't make it onto the subcommittee, I wasn't a member, I wanted to give from Metta. And there are a lot of other people out there with professional skills, with kindness, that would like to help. So let's make that happen.
Pauline.
My name is Pauline. I was the ex-treasurer. When I was treasurer, I was under-supported. I was the only one in the treasury doing all the work. And because of that, I noticed that we really need some community. We just ask someone, can you do, just for instance, you want to do some repair work. We just say, can you just look at it? Someone pull up the hand and say, I'll do it. But the person who pull up the hand hasn't got the necessary experience or requisite. And then they still do their best because they are all volunteer, and they come back and tell us. But the committee is so, the members are so busy because I was working full-time, right? And I have to do all these things. There are so many transactions. We have 4 centers. And at that time, we were building the Bodhi Dhammasara. So there are so many things going on with contracts, with so many things going on. And I think it's time for us to have subcommittee. Subcommittee is a very common group of people helping an organization, right? Just because we don't have time to make a phone call, right? We need someone to do that for us. Otherwise, you can't get things done. You have only one mouth, you have 2 eyes, you have only 24 hours, you have family. What do you do, right? But we need subcommittee to assist us. Subcommittee are dedicated by the committee or the committee member. When I was working all by myself in the Treasury Department, it was so hard. Right? Auditor is on my back. I have to make sure the ATO stuff is done. I've got to make sure that all the legal matters is done. It's really, really hard. So when Najama asked me, I said, no, I need to rest. And I said to him, I lost 5 kilos for that during the period. Okay? So it's really, really hard. And because of that, we made recommendation to employ a part-time accounts people to help us. We have to liaise with the government, we have to liaise with the superannuation. You have to have time to do that. You have only 2 eyes, there's so many things coming in, right? So that has been in place. Now, in terms of whether we trust a subcommittee, it's just somehow at the ATM, the AGM give us the impression that the subcommittee just have a free reign, you know, they can do what they want. But on the other hand, we do have the delegation of authority that we talk about. The whole idea is you delegate, say, this is a subcommittee. Say, for instance, we have a conference or even Katina, for instance. We get subcommittee to do things for us. Then they say, I need to buy this, I need to buy that. But in that context, we do have a budget for them already. We say, okay, we have about $1,000. How do you want to spend? We're going to buy flowers, we're going to buy this. But we know there's $1,000 to be spent. It's not that someone just go and spend it. And besides, no money can be paid off without going to the treasury. The treasury will look at it. Okay, the only thing is maybe they spend the money first, then we come in and say, look at it. But the amount it happened is very small. And most of the time, they are supported. So the fear that we give the subcommittee people the free reign to do something, I think that's a misconception. And that caused the problem with this. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Thanks, Bo Lian. John, you have something to ask? It's not working.
This is not really my question, but I've heard it discussed, and it relates to Ajahn when he wrote his article saying that the proxy votes was legal but is unethical. And the discussion I heard people talking about was, how is it known that it's illegal? I mean, it's unethical when nobody checked with the voters which side they wanted to vote on. I wonder if Ajahn could talk about that one.
It's because the way our constitution is written, that takes precedence over the Associations Act. The Associations Act wants to make things a bit more democratic. I was trying to find a little quote which I had from, this was from the Victorians Associations Act about proxies, which basically, they were trying to actually to move away from proxies in many of these legislatures because it was always, you know, non-democratic in the sense that the person who does the most work to get the proxies, that they usually eventually win the day. Here it is. When there is a particular contentious matter on the agenda for a general meeting, it is common for members on one or both sides of the debate to have other members who have little or no interest in the issue sign up to give them a proxy vote. Many times this ends up in a situation where a vote is decided in favour of those who have put the most work into getting more proxy votes, rather than by a true vote of those interested in the issue. And especially if you try and get a proxy vote, that sometimes, you know, if you have a particular issue on one side or the other, for or against, you know, you will go to your friends, people who trust you, and then, you know, they say, we'll give you your proxy vote because we trust you, but you don't explain the issue to them accurately. And, you know, I did get some feedback on emails that, you know, that actually happened, that people weren't explained exactly what the issue was about, but they still gave their proxy vote to the person, and the person voted against the motion. So, you know, to me, that is, you know, unethical. You know, if you are going to get a vote from somebody else, you know, you have almost like an obligation, you know, to actually explain both sides of the story, to explain some of the history. So when they're making a vote, they're making like a fair vote, an informed vote. So without that information, it's one of the reasons why proxy votes just are always, you know, very contentious. And this is not BSWA. BSV, huge number of problems over there with proxy votes. And so we're trying to move away from that. One of the changes in the Constitution, which I'd like to see next year, this is only a start just to get one change and make it a bit more reasonable and democratic, is to allow people to attend a meeting so electronically, like, you know, you have over here. At the moment, our next SGM, you can actually see what's going on here, but you can't cast a vote, you know, by online. So this is something where it means that proxy votes would only be for those people who are literally unable to attend physically, you know, or, you know, because, you know, not because they're overseas or interstate, because they are sick in hospital or they just can't make it onto the internet. So it will actually get a large membership, and a huge membership, overseas, interstate, that on any issue they can actually join in an SGM. And you don't need to doubt, you know, whether their vote, whether they give the vote to Ajahn Bamali, you know, just, and Ajahn Bamali just, now I've got your vote, I can say whatever I like, just because people trust him. And so, but without actually being really informed. So that was the reason, John. I said it was my opinion that it was, proxies can often be unethical. I think it was at that time.
Is there a question?
Maybe not so much a question, but a comment. I think maybe there's been a lack of understanding just how complex the society is. Good. And how much work is actually involved. And I think today we may have heard for the first time just how much work is involved and how much work we can actually take off our sangha so they can do the job that they are meant to be doing rather than running secular affairs. So I, for one, would love to make a contribution, but I don't have the facility to be a committee member. So a subcommittee will give me the opportunity to make the contribution I would really like to make. And I'm sure there's plenty of other members and non-members who would love to be able to do that. So having a subcommittee is going to be very important.
Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I just really wanted to address what happened before, just as we're coming to the end of this meeting. And I just wanted to say to Don that it gave me no pleasure at all to see what happened before, Don. You have been an outstanding member of this society over many, many years, for as long as I can remember. We all know that you can be quite feisty at times, and on this particular issue, I disagree with your with the tack that you're taking. But to you and the other members, and I think there's only a few, but were intimately involved in the committee last year. I just want to acknowledge that what you've done is not illegal, or there's no. It's really just a difference of opinion. in many ways, and I think that probably what happened today was probably inevitable, really, the way that things ended up. But I want you to know, Don, that you're a hero, I reckon, for this society. Over many, many years, you've served as treasurer. I don't know how many years Don has been the treasurer here, and how many issues that he's able to address in a fearless way. And you've been an outstanding member. And even though I'm on the different side to you this time round, I want to thank you. And if you've taken any offence, and if anyone else has taken any offence from any of this, on behalf of the society, I offer our deepest apology for that, if there is any offence taken. And I'm sure that Ajahn Brahm will concur with that point of view.
I just want to say, with utmost gratitude, Ajahn Brahm and Ajahn Brahmali, for the outstanding and awesome service. And it's just mind-blowing to, you know, be seeing all this generated work and hearing from people today of how much they've put in and had the toll on them as well. And, you know, I haven't done much service. I haven't done any service at all, yet I've benefited, you know. And certainly I'll try. If there is a subcommittee going on, I would try and contribute. But, you know, when one works, you get this thing called long service leave, you know, and I think sabbaticals, and I think things like this. And I think if this is just not right, you know, there's this bigger issue of the burnout and the stage of life and the needs that you have and the way you're serving the world. You know, it's just outstanding. I can't comprehend how you do it, you know, and I just think to myself, I'm glad that you can cope with being on planes and airports and all the rest of that. So I'd just like to say, to me, it's also about a bit of letting go and understanding that, you know, it doesn't have to be Ajahn Brahm's stamp. Ajahn Brahm has to have the final say. You will, and I know you always will, Ajahn Brahmali, Ajahn Brahm, whoever is the Ajahn that's in charge, is going to overlook everything, and, you know, if there's something not right, there will be consultation. But I think we have to have a letting go, an ability to let the stars shine as brightly as they need and have the rest that they need, because it's impossible.
Exactly. That's why we delegate. Delegate is another word for letting go. So just that leads me on. Can I answer these three questions here, which are pretty much the same? Okay. Okay, I'll let go.
Yeah, okay. Just keep that one, Adam. Then you can talk as well.
Yeah. Okay. I delegate it.
I'm the spiritual director, so I have to get talk a little bit. Yeah? Otherwise, I'm doing my job. Okay. I just would like to say that I have actually been talking to pretty much all those members who were opposed, especially those who had many proxy votes, etc., to try to canvass, find out exactly what their objections were to the motion. And I think it's quite simple, actually. There's two objections to the motion that went to the AGM. One is the idea of governance, that there isn't enough oversight over the subcommittees. The other one is financial accountability. Those two things were really the two issues. And I have a lot of respect for all of those people who had those problems. I can understand why people might be concerned about those things. I don't actually agree with the problem myself, but I can understand it. And I respect all of those people for their position that they have held. But having listened to what Ajahn Brahm has to say, and he has, I think that he has made it clear that the committee wants to take those issues very seriously. We're going to lay down very clear rules in terms of both governance and also financial accountability. And my feeling is that the two sides actually are very, very close together now. I think there's a very small gap between the two sides. And I spoke at length with Don as well yesterday. That was a very nice conversation. My feeling is that we're not that far apart. And that little gap which remains, I would suggest that if you still have concerns about these things, talk to Ajahn Brahm in private when you have some time, which is never, of course, but, you know, in theory, talk to Ajahn Brahm in private and see if we can find a solution to those little things, so we can put that into the agreement between the committee and the subcommittees that was concerned actually are addressed there. To me, it looks like now we are almost there. And hopefully we can all come behind this agreement, those who were originally opposed and also those in favor. And then we can have the Buddhist society working in harmony again, which I think is so important and such a valuable thing when we have a Buddhist society in harmony. Thank you.
John, let's do the questions.
Is that okay? So, there was from North Wales, UK, will Ajahn Brahms do lead meditation or Dhamma sessions online? From Germany, is Ajahn Brahms' health well enough that he can continue to teach or would he be taking a break? From Ireland, would Ajahn Brahms consider taking a 6-month retreat or holiday for all his hard work? There's one thing which, as you all know, that Ajahn Chah taught me, if you make a promise, you have to keep it. So I do have many commitments over the next year, and I will not let people down. And no, that's just not part of my makeup. But I know it was a lot of work this last year. Hopefully, that if we put the right resources in place, subcommittees, and more people volunteering, then obviously it will be less work. I am not in bad health yet, but I saw many signs of tiredness and exhaustion. And actually many of you saw that. I did get some feedback. Say, Ajahn Brahm, you look really, really tired. And so because of that, I'm going to try and to lessen the burden. Not to sort of just disappear yet. Although if I did do a longer retreat, you know, I would have to make sure that before you go on holiday, that, you know, your house is all well looked after. And you can delegate it to other people. So that's, you know, my role at the moment. Make sure that if I did take a break, that the house will be still standing when I come back. So that's not going to happen yet.
So looks like we've answered all the questions. And I want to thank Ajahn Brahm for being here this evening. Originally, he wanted just to be here so that people can talk to him, but I thought if we kind of like share him with the world, at least the world, not just the people here, would know what's going on and can hear from him directly. So I hope that has helped. And I also want to thank Ajahn Brahmali, who is the Acting Spiritual Director. I've never seen him work so hard. Maybe Ajahn Brahmali, that's not a fair statement, but I've never seen him work so hard. I feel bad for him. But yeah, and I don't think he likes to be a spiritual director, Ajahn Brahmali. Okay, so with that, I'd like to end today's session and thank everyone for being here and those online for staying up or waking up early to watch this live streaming. And again, I would like to encourage everyone to have conversations with the committee. If you still have doubts on what we are trying to change, because we are making these changes so that we can actually help the society move forward. Thank you, everyone.
Sorry. Okay, we can make